Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts for life itself. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to be together once again in your house to open the Word of God. We pray, God, that the Word of God will find its place today in our hearts and our lives. May we be receptive to the Spirit working and moving and speaking to us through your Word today. Dear God, we do lift up these families, Lord. This young man, Lord, who was killed in a fire. We pray for the family there as you would just bless them in a very special way. Lord, may this be a means, God, where somehow, Lord, others can be reached for Christ because of this. Lord, bless these, Lord, that are facing surgeries, those, Lord, that are having physical problems, knees or whatever it may be. God, we know that you're a great physician. And God, you're going to see us through all these circumstances and situations we have to face in life if we'll trust you, Lord, and look to you. And God, I pray you would help all these people now. Lord, it's been mentioned today. Bless our family, the church family as a whole here. Some here, Lord, are still recovering from things they've been going through. And I pray you continue to bless them and heal them. Lord, thank you for loving us most of all. Now, thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're going to continue our study on a disciple, being a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this month. Next month is February, next Sunday. We'll be starting February, faith promise and month and all that, and we'll be dealing about faith promise and all that. But today, as we can continue about being a disciple, we've talked about how Jesus sent the disciples away. He assured them that their authority was his authority. He gave them authority to go and to be disciples and to make disciples. And we said he won't send them to make disciples. We're, as Christians, we're to be conscious of the fact that we're trying to win others to Christ, make them disciples also. And he told them to go baptize and to teach and ask him to teach them to obey him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about what it takes to be a disciple. First of all, we have to be a learner. We have to be open. We have to be teachable in order to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we talked about how a disciple needs to be put Christ first. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put Christ first in our life. And the last time we met, we talked about separation, being separate from sin and things in this world that allure us and attract us. And when we are separate from sin, we'll have fellowship with the Lord, and we'll walk with him. We'll have a desire to walk with him every day of our life. You know, whenever we are separated from things in this world that allure us. Today, I want us to look today, as we continue this study about being a disciple, I want us to look at a Bible example here of a follower of God. Someone who followed God in their life. And, you know, sometimes you know that God raises up people. He always has had a man, hasn't he, to do his work. But God raises up people to do his work. And we see here, as we look at this person today, how what it is to forsake all and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or follow God. What is it to do that? How do we do that? And what's involved when people do that? And we're going to look here at a man who was God's friend. A man who was God's friend. You know, I believe Noah was one of God's friend, don't you? I mean, you know, he loved the Lord. He walked. The Bible tells he walked with the Lord for 300 years, you know. And so he became acquainted with God. But today we're going to look at a great Hebrew leader and a legislator, literally, who was born when the king of Egypt was destroying babies and when he was born. And we see also, not only that, this story of how he was rescued by God. God prevented him. God saved him to be raised up to do what he wanted to be done with him and through his life. Also, we see here that he was kept in royalty for a number of years. And he knew what it was to have things and be around things in the world, nice things and all this, you know, from that. But the greatest honor of his was the privilege of being known as the friend of God. The friend of God. We see that he was very close with the Lord. His intimacy existed between God and this prophet. And we see that daily in his life as God guided him and helped him in his life and all his labors that he did. So we're going to look today, as David Livingstone says, was his favorite Bible hero. We're going to look at Moses. Moses and the life that he lived and how God used him. If you will take your Bibles, first of all, and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 2. A Bible example, if we please, of a follower of God. A follower of God. A Bible example. Here we see. First of all, in Exodus chapter 2, we begin reading with verse number 1. Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 1. And there was a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And remember, this is a time when the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, is trying, he's getting every child he can killed that's under 2 years old, 2 years old. So here is a godly, here's a lady that births a child, and she hides him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bullocks and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wist what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself as in the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses means drawn out or drawn forth. What a miracle we find here, God working in the life of someone that he is going to use mightily. And how he uses ungodly people, sinful people, to perform his work. We see the hand of God here in this miracle here that took place here with Moses. We see here as he was born, the mother looked at the child, and in verse number 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child." That was an unusual child. Maybe beautiful, yet, but there was something strange about this boy. He was different from the other two she had. And we find here that because of that, she hid him for 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. Now, we know Moses' life, again, and you know this, has been broken down into, he lived to be 120 years. There's three sections, 40 years per section. The first 40 years he lived with Pharaoh, of course, as Pharaoh's son, and he learned how to be somebody, if you please. He was taught how to be somebody in Pharaoh's house because of all the things he had. All the things was available to him. The next 40 years he lived, we know, was in a desert place. And there he learned how to be a nobody. He learned how to be a nobody there in the desert. And then we find in the last 40 years of his life, we find he was a leader of God's children. He was a leader of God's children here, and he learned that God was everybody. In other words, I can go to God about anything I want to go to God for. You know, I can speak to him and he hears me. He's my friend. He wants to be my friend. So we see this in the life of Moses here as he did this. Now, again, we're talking about what it's like. What is it like to forsake all and to follow God or to follow Jesus? Now, if you will, turn over your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. As we look at the life of Moses here, we're going to look at two things about him specifically. In this passage of Scripture here, we're going to look, first of all, that a disciple's life is literally a life of faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way we can follow the Lord, but no way we can do what God wants us to do apart from faith, folks. It's all by faith. We're saved by grace through what? Faith. Faith. And our lives are to be lived by faith in God for what He's done for us. And we're going to see here Moses, his life was a life of faith. He lived by faith. His mother and daddy lived by faith, by preserving him there for 3 months. A life of faith. We're going to talk about that. But we're going to see here two things as we look at the Moses' life. Number one, the moment when he turned fully to God. There was a time in his life that he turned fully, completely to God, first of all. And then secondly, we're going to see there's a time, there's a moment when he absolutely broke away from the world. When he absolutely broke away from the world. These are two outstanding things about Moses here in this passage. And these are things we have to look at in our life as to what it takes, what it's like to forsake and to follow God. To forsake and to follow God. We see there's a time we have to turn fully to God. There's a time we have to forsake the world and live for God. And we see this in Moses' life here today as we look at it. So we see, first of all, in verse number 23, chapter 11, verse number 23, we see that the Bible says this. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. And notice that word, by what? By what? Faith. By faith, the Bible says, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his who? Parents. Of his parents. We see here the faith of his parents. The faith of Moses' parents. Knowing as she looked at that new baby there, there was something special about him. He was a good-looking guy, no doubt, but nevertheless, there was something about his countenance that got her, that moved her, heart to realize, hey, I need to put him away. This is a special child God's given me. There's something God's going to do with this boy here in our lives. And we see here the faith of Moses and Moses' parents here. We see here, as we look at this, we see the victory here they had over the dangers of the world. They knew that the king was going to kill all the babies that were born. They were living in a dangerous time, folks. Here they now have a little baby in their family here. And the word gets out, they got a baby, what's going to happen? They're going to come and kill him. They're going to kill him. They're living in a dangerous time. I know, we think maybe we're living in some dangerous times too. Maybe we are. But let's go back to Moses. Moses' mom and dad was too. They were faced with something that most of us won't have to face, thinking that somebody's going to come and kill our child when they're born. And so we see here the faith of Moses' parents here as they were looking for victory over dangers that they were facing in their life at this time. So we see here, by faith, when he was born, was here for 3 months of his parents. His parents loved him so much, and all they hid him for 3 months. We see the conclusion here of the fact. They knew what was going to happen if this baby was seen. I heard about. So they hid this baby. This is a practical conclusion here on behalf of the parents. They tried to preserve their young boy, their son that was born. Notice also, he said, because they saw he was a proper child. He was a proper child here. We see here the parents' conviction. God laid on their heart, hey, this is a son. I've given you a son for a specific reason. And they had conviction in their hearts about him that something was going to be done with him. by God if we could just preserve him and not let word get out that he's born. There was a conviction in the lives of the parents here that they needed to try to preserve him and put him away so nobody could bother him. Nobody could kill him here. We see this. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We see here their courage. Who were they trusting, folks? They were trusting God. You know, they were trusting God, that God gave them this child for a specific reason. And if we keep this child hid for a while, we know God's going to lead us to ask what to do to preserve this young man for his work. So we see here some things about the parents. We see their conviction. We see their conclusion, and also their courage they had in trying to preserve Moses, this young baby, as he's born now for a specific task that God has in store for him here. So we see here, this is what happened in verse number 23. Now, look at verse number 24. Verse number 24, we see here when Moses turns fully to God. He turns fully to God. Notice, okay, by faith Moses, when he came to years, probably 40 years, we don't know exactly how old he was. Maybe the first 40 years we know he stayed in Pharaoh's house and all that. But we see here, when he came to years, maybe 40 years old, is when he was. We see here, 40 years old. Now, a 40-year-old man lived in a palace for 40 years. No doubt he's seen a whole lot, hasn't he? He's been around a lot of things that were worldly and ungodly. And we see, because of this, we see now Moses here, at this age here now, we see he's making a decision here to turn fully to God. He's at the age of judgment or enjoyment. You know, if God's got a call on your life, if God's got something for you to do in your life, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to be convicted to do what God wants you to do, or you're going to have the opportunity to enjoy life. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision here. And this is where Moses was at 40 years old. See, he was ripe, so to speak. He was at the age now that he's seen enjoyment, he's enjoyed things here now, but yet there's something moving in his heart, no doubt, in his life, in his God. He's trying to convict him and put him on the right direction here now, and all this at this time. So we see here, when he turned fully to God, he knew what he did and why he did it when he makes this decision. He's just not doing something just to do something. He has a reason why he's turning fully to God here at this time here, and why he's doing it, because God is speaking to his heart, no doubt, and trying to direct his life. Yeah, I'm so glad today for the working of the Spirit of God in our lives, aren't you? To direct us and show us what he wants us to do. You know, if we didn't have the Spirit of God in us, we would not know what to do. But thank God for his power and his Spirit to direct us and show us in our lives that we can do exactly what God wants us to do. Now, let's continue in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, notice the next word. What is it? Refused. He refused. What did he refuse? To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here he's having victory, trying to get victory over delights of the world. Of the world, things he's had. The Bible says here that whenever he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we can't imagine what it's like. I can't. I can't imagine what it's like to live in a king's palace. I can't imagine what it's like to be the king's grandson, or what you call it, step-grandson, whatever it is, in a place like that where you have everything. Everything, you know. Here he is. He's refusing this now. Now listen, just a natural man cannot do this. He will not do it. It takes the grace of God and the working of God in a person's life for them to do this, such thing as this, to refuse what's been available to him here. He's seeking victory now over the things, the world's delights, what the world has offered him. He's trying to get victory over this, we see here. And we see that the Bible says it's by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's stepping out by faith. He's trusting God, isn't he? He's trusting God. He's not trusting anybody but God. He's looking to God here. Here he is. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the things he's been enjoyed, he's forsaken that. He's refusing that. He's refusing. I don't want this no more. I've had enough. I've had enough, he's saying. You know, he's stepping out by faith, you see. We have to realize, here's a lady that found him, Pharaoh's daughter. Found him there in the water. Not only did she find him, but she grew fond of him, no doubt. We know what a miracle that the mother of the child was able to raise the child up for a certain age, and now Pharaoh's daughter has adopted him. But she grew fond of Moses, very fond of him. And no doubt, she adopted him. She adopted him as her own son. And all this that she did for him, now Moses has got to a point, he's refusing it. He's refusing it. I don't want this no more. I don't want to be your son no more. My, what a great temptation this was to Moses. This was a trial, folks. This was a trial. To show, you know, it seems like ingratitude for Moses on behalf of for the Pharaoh's daughter, doesn't it? That he's refusing her. He don't want nothing else to do with her in his life. He wants to be out of this situation you see here. We have to remember that Pharaoh's daughter was his only child. Pharaoh only had one daughter. And this daughter was childless. And here she was now, had adopted a son, and now my adopted son is going to refuse me. He's going to leave me. It's a great trial for Moses. There's no doubt a great trial for her too. But we see here again what it was like to forsake all to follow Jesus, follow God in the life of Moses. He had a big trial, folks. He went through a big trial in his life here. We see this. No doubt. She was fond of him. She saved him. She saved his life, literally. The maidens did as she went, that they went and got him here. But we see the trial that Moses went through and how he victoriously came through this trial as he had faith in God. It was all about faith. I said before, the Christian life, a disciple life, is a life of faith, folks. Faith in God in everything we do, in everything we go, everywhere we go, whatever we may do here. We see the triumph of his faith in this great trial, in this great trial. He refused again to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, why did he refuse that? Why did Moses refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? There had to be a reason. There had to be a reason. We know who Moses was, don't we? We know who his father was. We know who his mother was and all this. And unless he had refused, if he had not refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, we find here, he did that because he wanted to be the son of Abraham, the father of the faithful. You know, unless he refuses to be Pharaoh's daughter, a son, while we see here, he would undervalue the honor of being a son of Abraham. Undervalue that. Also, we see that he would be renouncing his relationship to Israel unless he denounced himself, refused to be called Pharaoh's son anymore. So this is why he did this. You know, God leading him and God directing him to be that, we see this. So we see here, first of all, the moment when he turned fully to God. The moment in his life when he turned completely to God. We see in verse 23 and verse 24 that by faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of being by the king's commandment. And by faith, we see Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We see here him turning him, first of all, fully to God. He turned fully to God, first of all, in this moment here. Now, also we see in verse number 25, the second step in his life, not only did he refuse to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter at this moment, but also we see here the next moment that he absolutely broke away from the world. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Folks, that's denying the world. That's denying the world. That's separating. That's separating from the world and the things of the world here. This moment come in Moses' life, the moment when he was absolutely broke himself from the world. From the world. You know, I wonder, when I got saved, I recognized that things were different in me. I realized that. There was something in me that was never there before. It was the Spirit of God. But you know, it took a while. It took time in my life as I continued to hear the Word of God and was taught the Word of God and studied the Word of God to break me, if you please, from the world completely. It wasn't a sudden thing to me. It was a gradual thing in my life, you know, because there was conviction in me whenever I did things that I used to do, and now they're wrong. See, God has a way of directing us and helping us by His Spirit that lives within us here. And now here Moses is. Here Moses, a proper child, a man of God that God wants to use here. We see his faith in trying now to conquer the world. To conquer the world. He has faith in God. His faith here is over sinful pleasures. Over sinful pleasures in the world. You know, it's so sad to me how much the world has to offer us. It offers us, all of it is sinful. It's ungodliness. It's not things that we need to be around in our life. But we have to be in this world, don't we? We have to be in this world here. And notice we hear, you see, first of all, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And now we find here, he's choosing something, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the things of the world for a season. May I say this, first of all, if Moses had just refused it and never gone to the next step, God would never use him. Not only did he refuse to be called Pharaoh's daughter, now he chooses. He's making a decision. He's choosing here to suffer the affliction with God's people. It's not enough, folks, just to refuse. We have to choose to be a disciple. We have to choose to be a disciple. You know, God, I want to follow you. Will you please help me to follow you? I'm saved. Praise God, I'm on my way to heaven. Is that far as we want to go? If it is, it's up to us. Okay? But if we choose to be a disciple, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something, folks. He says, I choose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He was willing to take whatever it took to be like God's people. To be like God's people. To be with that crowd, be with that bunch. You know, whatever it took, you know, if it meant even suffering here, that he might have his portion with them forever. You know, we may suffer a little bit in this world. Most of us don't suffer. We don't know what suffering is. But we think about the hereafter and what's awaiting us, folks. Suffering is nothing. Suffering in this world is nothing compared to eternity, the glory we're going to spend with the Lord and all God's people that are there. I look forward to that day. I really do. I really do. He chose. He made the decisions rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Pharaoh's court. You think about the pleasures of sin. What are the pleasures of sin? The pleasures of sin are and will be short, folks. They are and they will be short, the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin in a person's life today, even a Christian or a non-Christian, there's two things about them. First of all, they bring about repentance. If they don't bring about repentance, they bring about ruin. They ruin a person's life. One of two things. The pleasure of sin brings about repentance or it brings about ruin a person's life. I know, and you know too, people. In my life, I've seen people get saved, be in church for a while. First thing you know, they start missing a little bit. First thing you know, they're gone. And the world gets them. And the world gets them. And the tragedy is, unless they repent, there's ruin coming in their lives. And I've seen that happen too. People's lives have been ruined because of the pleasure of sin. The pleasure of sin in this world, see. So we see there must be a repentance. If not, there's going to be a ruin in a person's life and when it comes to the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of this world are often, folks, listen, the pleasures of this world are often the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of this world are most often the pleasures of sin. And we sometimes as believers can't see that. We can't see that. Folks, we need to be careful where we go. We need to be careful of the environment that we're in. We really do. Because we are to be the light of the world. The light of the world. Light conquers darkness. But when we go to darkness intentionally ourselves, we're asking for trouble. We're asking for trouble. So we need to be careful about the pleasures of this world. They often are the pleasures of sin. They're often so when we cannot enjoy them without deserting God. Be careful of the pleasures that we're involved in, folks. The pleasures that we're involved in, are we deserting God when we do these things? Are we deserting God? We need to be careful. But Moses here, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of the world. He made a decision. He chose. He chose here. We see here, he accounted the reproaches of Christ more valuable than the treasures of Egypt. The treasures of Egypt. And no doubt, he's seen a lot of nice things in Egypt, hadn't he? Living where he lived, he's seen the best of all things. But yet now he chose the reproaches of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt. In verse number 26, look at what it says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We see here that Moses made a decision, a very important decision in his life. Moses conquered the riches of the world before he had conquered the honors of pleasure. Moses made a choice. Moses, first of all, he refused. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. We have to make a choice as believers. We have to refuse the world. We have to refuse the world, the things that were offered us, folks. We have to refuse it. And sometimes it's hard to do that, ain't it? I mean, it really is. There's just so much out there today that's enticing to us. But if we want to be a disciple, if we want to follow the Lord, we've got to refuse the world, the things that are in this world. I know it's hard to do. It's hard to take steps nowadays, but we need to do it, folks, more so than ever. If there's anything in this world today that lost people need to see, they need to see some born-again, baptized, blood-washed believers living like God wants us to live. I mean, they do. We've come to the place we're compromising. We're compromising. Oh, it's okay. You know, this is the way it is today. You know, well, just because it's this way today don't mean I have to participate in it. I don't have to participate in it. And we should not, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to refuse the world. And we need to choose whatever God's people have to go through. Hey, praise God, I want to go with them. I don't care what it is, the storms of life, whatever it is, I will be with them. I want to go with God's people because we are a family. Amen? We're to support one another. We're to encourage one another as God's people here. So we see here Moses, his life, and how God used him. Even his parents had faith enough to know that God has something special for their child to hide him. And to put him in that water by faith, trusting God to do work there to preserve him for the work that God wanted him to do. Now, folks, that's faith. That's faith. My prayer is, God, give me more faith. Give me more faith that I may follow you all the days of my life, until you call me home. So we see here, it's not enough, folks. It's not enough just to refuse, but we must choose. We must choose. Refuse the world and choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like trying to quit a habit I have. No matter what it is, something I do, I know is wrong. I have a hard time stopping it. It may be eating too much. Something we all can identify with. But what am I going to do? How am I going to conquer this? How am I going to conquer this problem I have? Okay, if I eat too much, I'm going to refuse to eat, okay? I'm going to refuse to eat. Just cut back some. Well, I'm going to tell you, unless we choose, we'll never quit eating less. Start eating less. We have to choose another plan. We have to choose another way, okay? Okay, I'm not going to stop eating, but I'm going to choose to eat less. I'm going to choose to eat not as often. I'm going to choose not to eat at night after a certain time. See what I'm saying? Not only do we have to choose, but we have to choose. And this is what Moses did. A great example we have for us as a disciple, we ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment when Moses turned fully to God, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Daughter. We also see the moment when Moses broke away from the world. He chose the reproaches of God's people rather than the pleasure of the world. He chose. Do you want to be a disciple? I do. I think all of you do. I want to follow the Lord. If we follow the Lord, let's look at some Bible examples of men and people in the Word of God that chose to follow God. They made a decision, folks. It's just like being saved. You're not saved because you're saved today because you chose to accept Christ as your Savior. If you didn't ever choose to accept Him as your Savior, you wouldn't be saved today, would you? No, you wouldn't. There had to be a working in our hearts to convict us and draw us to Christ, but we had to make that decision to choose to accept Christ as our Savior. Likewise, we have to choose to be a disciple. We can refuse, but we need to choose, folks. What are we going to do for Christ? God help us to make the right decisions in life that we might live for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for Moses. Thank you for his life. Thank you, Lord, that you raised up him, Lord, to do the work that you wanted him to do. And God, thank you for parents, Lord, that had discernment, Lord, to realize that this child was a special child. And God, they committed him to you even at his birth. Lord, know that you were going to work in him and do great things through him and by him. Oh God, it's my prayer, Lord, that you'll help me, Lord, to refuse, Lord, some things in this world, things, Lord, in my life. Help me to choose, God, to be with God's people, doing God's work in my life until Jesus comes. Father, bless our people today. Give us encouragement, give us strength, give us wisdom. And Lord, help us every day, Lord, to try to help to talk to somebody about Jesus, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, we commit now the service to come into your hands. May you have your will and way in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.